September 10th, 2007, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. We started off with Tenor Conclave by John Coltrane, along with
Hank Mobley, Zoot Sims, and Al Cohn.
And?
Red Garland.
No, there's four tenors.
No, well, Coltrane, Mobley, Sims, and Cohn.
Zoot Sims. We didn't say Zoot Sims.
I didn't say Zoot Sims, sorry.
All right, Paul Chambers on the bass, Art Taylor on the drums. Guest for today's show, or tonight's really, it's 9:56 p.m. Moscow time, because we're bringing you this show straight from Moscow, Russia. First time, me and my guest, Mr. Steve McKay, Stooges Sax Man, have ever been to this land. We followed up with a buddy of ours, Kamilski, and his...
Yeah, known as Kundahola.
Kundahola, and Knickers to the right.
Yeah, now, Kundahola will be opening for us tomorrow
night. That's why we're in town.
That's why we're
in town. We're going to play first Stooges gig in Moscow ever at a club called B1. And we arrived, I don't know, 2 o'clock, and it took about an hour to drive in. And then... we sallied forth on foot, right, Steve?
Yep. We went to Red Square.
Right. Went to St. Basil's Cathedral, went inside it.
You know what I found out today?
What's that?
That Ivan the Terrible had the architect blinded so he could never create anything as beautiful again.
Well, I heard he also had him buried in there, but that was like an untrue myth or something.
Well, he might have done that, too, after he blinded him. Nice guy. Beautiful architecture, though.
They built it in the 1550s?
It's parts of it are older than that, too, I believe.
Yeah. And everybody's seen it. If you've seen a picture of it, you'd know it. It's got one central tower that's kind of an elongated pyramid thing, and then around it is a bunch of turban-top towers. 9 of them, and they're named after saints. Got little eggs.
A little souvenir egg with the Holy Mother and the baby Jesus here.
Right. We couldn't really walk down the middle of Red Square because there was some prac going.
What, like about 27 buses worth of marching bands, military
some
and otherwise.
Some civvies.
Yeah.
And some Scotsmen.
Yeah, Scotsmen with their bagpipes and kilts. Yeah, it's like... They were practicing for some big thing.
Maybe tomorrow.
They had stadium seating all set up around
there. Right. Yeah, Lenin's tomb in the middle of there. You could, all the pictures we saw as kids with the jefes waving, we saw where they did it from. We couldn't get right up on it, like I said, because there was prac. But it's a red granite thing. And then it's right up against the wall of the Kremlin. Now, the Kremlin's a castle-like trip.
It's a big kind of a like a neighborhood almost surrounded by castle walls here.
Right. But it's not really part of St. Basil's. It's a separate dealio. And then we went down a side street.
Yeah.
And we're exploring and came upon a pad named
Chase.
Che. After, you know.
Guevara man.
Right. Ernesto, I think he's.
Ernesto Che Guevara.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I think Che meant dude in Argentina slang, and he was the only Argentina dude with the Cubanos, so they called him Che.
Yep.
And so we went to Che's and had some.
Once we got
divos.
In the front door, they discovered that we had to talk them to the fact that they let us in, or you have to leave your coat here, and we realized it was because they thought we might be packing.
Yeah, the cat lifted up his shirt to show his waistband. You know, like, he doesn't want any of that. And he waved his hand off. And a thank you in Russian is...
Spasiba.
Yeah, spasiba. And so that's what we told him. And went in there and had some Moskva local brew.
Yep.
And some Cyrillic...
Once you get out of the bouche pad, things are really cheap on the street.
Yeah. Like later we went and had a dog in a wrap. with pickle and
mashed potatoes
and pickles.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was a couple of bucks, you know.
Yeah. And then we got some cerveza here. I think it's local brew too. It's called maybe Boyka.
Maybe it is. We don't read Cyrillic very well.
It's kind of gray, kind of cool. It kind of sprinkled on us. We were lucky. We flew in from Helsinki, and the gig before that was in Frankenstadt, hour and a half south of Oslo.
Frederikstadt, yeah.
Frederikstadt, I'm sorry. An old fortified town. For something that translates Norwegian as Moon Festival. And both Norway and Finland had sunny weather.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Moscow here has got some kind of grayish.
If it got another 5 degrees colder, it would be snowing.
Yeah, but folks were cool to us. And we went in a big group at first, and then I got scissors. So it was just me and Steve alone, and it was kind of neat. Now, it's nothing like the old pictures you saw. There's a lot of advertising. There's a lot of money in this town, in this, especially this area.
Not particularly evenly distributed.
Yeah,
but,
probably not.
But there is a lot, yeah.
And there's not a lot of Ladas driving around. In fact, a lot of, you know, Chinquando.
Yeah, Mercedes and things like
the
that.
Hombre and Mercedes.
Yeah.
not the militia. They got some little tiny cars, but some hombres had Mercedes with the blue light on top.
That's right, that's right.
So, with some pad called Kapinski's, which has a chain of burn wards across the world. Make sure the bones are getting distributed.
That's all right. There's, you know, plenty of work to, like, pick up dirty towels and stuff. But the breakfast is on the house, so.
Yeah, we're into that, huh? It's a trip, I tell you. The hats that the a lot of the police and military wear, you know, what you might see on, if you're watching TV and watching Hogan's here, they're not, it's not the crumpled little thing Colonel Hogan's got on.
No, it's about a foot tall and it's about a foot wide. We got off the plane and the first thing I saw was this little kid soldier standing there watching us as we got off, and he had one of them hats on too, and I'm going like, now I'm in a foreign country. I thought I'd been in foreign countries before, but this is... It's the whole other half of the world, you know. It's like,
yeah, but I think it's a big dynamic thing here. I don't think things are static.
No, they're changing all the time.
Yeah, and it was like I said, an hour drive, and went through a lot of woods, went through suburbs where the old
that
housing is, where it's kind of beat up, and lots of new housing.
Yeah, the 30-story high. Kind of tenement projects where millions of the people live still, that was put up, you know, under the old regime, but still working.
And then casinos and malls, a lot of distribution. What do they call it? Outlets?
They got IKEA.
The IKEA.
IKEA is what it's really supposed to be called, but that's all right. Yankees.
Now, last night we played in Helsinki in an ice rink. And, well, it was kind of a special bass solo for me.
It sounded great out front. I got to spend my time before I played to go out and hear some of it from the front, and it sounded really, really good.
You know, I was talking before when I recorded in Tokyo, and I was having trouble with that song at 7, and those folks in Migu helped me by tapping out the beat.
Well, I tapped on you last night.
Ig was paddling me with a mic. And in fact, I got marks on my culo. Well, he after the gig, he said his legs were hurt, and he wanted to come out work it with me like he usually does. But yeah, his legs weren't up to it, so he found an alternative route to aid and abet with some whooping on the gym.
Well, that was when we do.
They were on the downbeat, so
yeah. When we do electric chair, you get that feature solo.
16
you
know, bars.
Yeah, we all get me and Ronnie and yeah. Mike all get the 16 bars. So
yeah, we got to work in Scotty with 16 bars.
Rat-a-tat-em.
Yeah,
the grim beater.
Right.
But remember, and then also we got to pay attention to the bar called Loose.
Right. In Helsinki, they got a bar named after a Stooges song. And the night before the gig, went and visited.
Right? Yeah. They got, you know, pictures of the Stooges all over there. And MC5 had been there. And, you know, MC3. And they'd autographed stuff. And, you know, posters for Sonic's Rendezvous Band. And
you know what tripped me out is what they had windows on the street. For some reason, I thought it'd be downstairs or something.
Thought it'd be a real cave, huh? It was all right, and then the owners found out we were there, and they came down.
Yeah.
To see us, and I got to experience the cocktail known as Fisherman's Friend.
Yeah, tell them about that.
I don't know. It was sort of like Jaeger Monster with a shot of vodka added to it. It was like drinking cough syrup, sort of. But it was tasty to me. Thank God I only had one.
And they had a local Pivo.
Yep.
It was pretty good. I think it was something with a bear. Karoo?
Yeah, Karoo.
Right. And lots of nice folks there. It got a little chilly when night came on. And that's southern Finland.
Yeah.
Where Oslo was pretty Cali weather.
That
incredible.
Was
you got to understand, being this far north, the sunsets don't go down quick. Well, maybe they do later in the year, but this time of year, this is a
took
slow
about an hour
sun.
And a half of twilight.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And before that, we played in Dublin. Something called the Electric Picnic.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I did the last radio show there, and Steve helped me out on the third hour because my buddies could only stay the first 2 hours.
And that was after we had played Zagreb before that.
Zagreb started off this late.
And the end of the road.
And that was a sweaty gig. Now, Southern Europe is not like Northern Europe.
Yeah.
There was some humidity, there's some heat.
And we got, then we got, after tomorrow, we got one more show.
In France.
In France.
Just outside of Paris.
Fête de la Humanité.
Yeah. And that's all for Overseas Stooges this year. We got one more gig planned in the U.S., October 27th, something called Vegas in Las Vegas, and we're going to do the entire fun house, like the record. Because
we do
them tunes. Not in order, but we end up doing all them tunes. But for Vegas, we will recreate for the second time because we first did it a couple years ago in England at the Hammersmith Apollo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We've been playing a lot. Huh?
Yeah.
Since this Weirdness album came out?
Yeah, you know, cannot complain about lack of work or lack of promotion thereof.
Right.
Most I've ever experienced.
But in October, you got something coming up, Steve.
I'm going to go to the East Coast and play some live dates. One of them is at a place called Southpaw in Brooklyn. That's the only one I know about for sure, but I think there's a couple others. They'll be playing with some...
And recording at a pad called Caesar's Palace.
Caesar's Palace.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'll be doing some recording The band's called Blue Prostitutes, and it's got some guys that I've already recorded on
part of the Radon Collective.
Some of the Radon Collective and a couple other people. And
by the way, Kamielski is part of the Radon Collective.
Yep. And that's been really good, and I'm looking forward to that.
And you're instrumental in Kamielski playing tomorrow.
What? My instrumental in...
You are instrumental.
Oh, I'm instrumental, yeah, because I've been in touch with him, and he originally... Well, Pop heard his music and said, "Who is this guy? I want him to open for us." And he wasn't able to open for us in San Francisco because he was already in Czech for the summer, but he usually lives in California. And
the desert, close to SoCal.
But he goes back and stays with his... around his native people in the summertime, and he was touring all over Europe doing his own stuff. And when we communicated with each other, he said, "Yeah, well, first he was supposed to play in Paris, but then that didn't work out. But this thing in Moscow came up, and I was able to hook him up with Stooges management and thence to the promoter." And they really liked the stuff that he got. Well, what's the thing he's got on MySpace? We got to plug that.
Oh yeah, he's got a... well, we played the audio part.
Right, Nickerson.
But there's a video of it, and the man is a movie star.
What's on? He is, isn't he? But is that on? Was that a MySpace thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kundahola.
Kundahola, and it's him. Visualizing it.
Quite a bit. Like, yep. The sagebrush fever.
Taking the ears to the eyes.
That's right.
And he weighs a pretty mean spear.
Indeed.
You know, it was interesting last night at the Helsinki gig. We were doing My Idea of Fun, and it goes out in the crowd, you know, and he comes back up on stage. Somebody passed him up the most gigantic purple dildo. It's like, what's this about?
I saw something go flying over the stage.
Yeah, well, he tossed it back, yeah. But I have yet to see someone pass up one of them things. So that was a trip. Somebody threw up a Stooges t-shirt. Kind of different.
They was good people.
Yeah,
good,
yeah.
People, real good kids.
Chant and do "I Want to Be Your Dog."
They do that in every country. I don't care what their native tongue is, whether it's Serbia or Macedonia or Japan or Brazil. They all know that one.
In fact, they get it twice a lot of times.
Yeah, so we call it the double dog. We'll do it as a reprise at the end of the show.
Right, where Steve comes on board.
And I get to play on that one, on that version, so I like that.
Because usually it brings Steve in on the end of 70.
Yeah.
And then he's there for them. Before that, Steve is helping with the amps.
Well, when the stage invasion happens, that's my somewhat self-appointed job, is to stand behind the double stack of Marshalls in case somebody falls into them. And there have been just a few times where it was really good that I was there.
I think we only had about 12 people on stage.
Yeah, as opposed to...
200 or 300.
Yeah. Where was that? Well, that was Glastonbury.
Tokyo, not Tokyo, but Naiba, Japan was a massive
one. Well, because they get up there and then they don't want to leave.
And there was a big one in Chicago for Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Whew. What was the one where Eric...
Dublin had a lot of cats. Leeds had... That was Leeds. And there was a few people there. There's some aggressive guys, I guess, on the road boss, Eric Fisher. And he got blindsided and then hit up against stage and cracked a rib. Which ain't happening. What's that about? But usually...
Lager louts.
Yeah, we don't have that. That was a weird trip. Well, let's play some music here. Something from Texas.
Thank you.
Okay, we were listening to Kitamono by a band called Many Birthdays, and they're actually from Texas, but I understand they spent some time in Japan, probably speak the language pretty good, and according to Mike, they sound the most Japanese, but we got three more Japanese bands afterwards.
Well, everybody sounds Japanese.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Hi. That means yes. The Head That Controls the Right and Left by Bleach 03.
They're from Okinawa.
All right. And then
three girls.
Then we got Shoes On, Shoes Off by Hiroshi N.
Right.
And we got Headache by Noise Clinic.
Right.
Yeah, the Japanese scene is really amazing and fascinating to me.
Right. And they're part of a big universe of music. We got to find out about some more music from here in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, not really. There's a band out of San Francisco now called Red Elvis, and they were all Russian immigrants. All Russian immigrants.
I think they do a surf thing.
Yeah, and I think I seen their truck driving around Austin or something in Texas, and they got like the big balalaika guitars and stuff, but they
balalaika?
Hands it up. Balalaika. Yeah. And but we're really not hearing a lot coming out of Russia.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because it's not in keeping with the party line or whatever, but wait, those days are done, aren't they? But wait, no, maybe they're not.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just a little slower in coming. There must be a lot of bands here.
I would think so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here, and if there's a lot of people, there's a lot of musicians and a lot of people, especially young people, that like to go and see music and, you know, dance and go berserk, and there's certainly plenty of vodka to fuel all of that too.
So. I think people are in touch. I'm walking around, it didn't look like people are from another planet.
No, they look pretty plugged in.
Yeah. So, and we heard music coming out of stores and stuff, and it wasn't the Volga Bolt, man.
Well, a lot of your cities, even in the States, they're built on rivers because that was before they had railroad trains or before they had...
It was the transport.
You know, yeah, freeways or superhighways or whatever. It was the boat was the way to go.
Bike path.
Bike path along the boat. I was reading something that said, like, the invention of the bicycle was, like, a thing that really changed history.
Not until 1700s, which is amazing because they had chariots thousands of years ago.
Yeah, they needed a horse for that, you know.
No, but the idea of putting one wheel in front of the other took a long time.
And it took them a while to figure out that they should maybe be both approximately the same size rather than having one that was 6 feet tall and one that was a foot tall.
The penny farthing.
Yeah. The bone shaker.
Can you imagine that?
Direct drive.
Can you imagine going up a hill? Well, in Helsinki, I saw some cruiser bikes that would have been hard to get.
Oh, we saw a beautiful cruiser bike, and I got to talk to the owner of said bike.
Yeah.
And
she asked him about San Francisco.
Oh, no, I'm doing it. But, yeah, you see, you asked him, it's like, is it hard to get up a hill? And he says, yeah, but luckily it's pretty flat around here. And then I said, is it hard to get around a corner? Because that thing's about 8 feet long. And it was all stretched out like a stretch limo. It was like, you know, like a fat tire bike with way cool handlebars and a chain about, you know, 6 feet long. And nice purple paint job with pinstripes and stuff. Yeah, his buddy makes the frames, and then, you know, you put your pieces together.
Ah. Yeah. I saw a couple of them cats pedaling around.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't see any tall bikes. You know about the guys from Cycle Side out in San Francisco. They'll weld one frame on top of another and give you a 6-foot high bike.
You don't want to fall off.
I think I made a bike like that one time. All you do is you take the frame and turn it upside down and then figure out where to put the seat, because you can hang the fork backwards too. And all of a sudden, you're 5 feet off the ground.
And you cut forks off another one, weld them up into
the... Yeah. The one I made, I didn't do any welding, but these guys do the welding now, yeah. And so they make all kinds of amazing things.
But what about the hills?
I guess you have to have one with a derailleur on it and a bunch of sprockets. You know, the guy's going up the hill, and he's like going... four times around with the pedals for every step you'd make if you were walking. Yeah.
That's called gearing down.
Well, you're a big pedal man, though, Mike. You know.
Yeah, and that's why I relate to this and visualize a dilemma.
Where I live, it's like it's pretty flat. But, you know, I got like one little hill. But then if I wanted to get to San Francisco... this is called over the hill, and no, I don't care what you're riding, you'd be walking.
But you don't go to San Francisco a lot, huh?
Not anymore. Well, I lived there for so long that I've...
Right, you don't really know the bands, but you do something there called...
Bayview Boat Club.
No, the Thursday.
Third Thursday, that's where the Third Thursday plays, and they're still playing, the third Thursday of every month there. And they tend to feature like a lot of Zappa music and stuff, but we're playing a lot of stuff from the 70s.
Right, there's something with covers?
Yeah, a lot of cover songs, and that's fine. Then, I don't know, lately...
These cats come in and just rotate and jam.
You know, and I go down there, and I'll play with Third Thursday, but then I'll sit in with every other band that's there if they'll have me, so I'll end up playing like 3 hours solid, which is good.
Keep the chops up.
Got to keep the chops up. As a matter of fact, I think I might be able to make Third Thursday this month.
Oh, because we come back on a Sunday.
Because I missed it for like the last three times
because
we were gone.
Right.
Yeah.
So 3 months worth. Is there like a cat in charge of that?
That's Mike Dingle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he have another band besides that?
I don't know. He tends to be... he's kind of like an organizer kind of guy. But then the people that play with him are in lots of different bands, including the Cycle Side House Band and Victim's Family and...
Oh yeah, I know some of them cats.
Remember that was the guy.
They actually weren't from the city. They were closer to Petaluma or something, Sonoma, Cotati or something. And they were really young when I played with them. And then they came back around. They were in different bands. Larry, bass player I know.
That was the guy in Sydney that gave me the bear hug and cracked my ribs. Because he loved me so much. I love him too. Don't worry about that, Larry. It was like... Remember? Because I said, what are you doing here? And he was in town to do some recording. So.
Some rib crack.
Some rib crack. Now when we see each other, we just kind of like lightly hug and shake hands. That's it.
Fingertip touch.
But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on out there. It's hard. It's like you're not as plugged into the quote unquote industry or the buzz as you are down south.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is everybody wanted to move to San Francisco because that's where all the bands were.
Right.
And so everybody's in a band. And so if everybody's in a band, then there's not enough audience to come and see you.
And the bands end up watching each other. But you come from Grand Rapids. Why did you want to come?
Well,
In fact, there was a lot of people from Michigan that went, right?
I would call that like the Rust Belt Exodus.
And we're talking early 70s.
Yeah, I was coming out of... Well, I went to college in Ann Arbor, which is where I met Stooges and all that. And so I lived in Ann Arbor for, God, about 10 years.
After Grand Rapids.
And then at a certain point in time, it was like diaspora, and a lot of the musicians I knew all bailed. And some went to New York, and some went to Boston, and some went to Nashville, and some went to Austin, and some went to L.A., and Commander Cody and those guys went to the Bay Area. And I tried to figure out where I was going to go after I bailed on Mojo Boogie Band. And I'm fond of saying I was probably about three steps ahead of the DEA, even though I wasn't doing anything that bad. But they were going after the musicians, you know, try to get the little guys to go after the big guys. I think I used to be part of the house band for the big guys, staying up all night, you know, with gangsters. They didn't realize they were gangsters, but yeah, I went to San Francisco in 77 and ended up playing first with the Moonlighters and Bill Kirchen, and then we went back to being Commander Cody's band again. And so a couple of years after I got out to California, then I was touring the States and I was coming to Europe for the first time. So that was a good move for me. Then after a while, after various life experiences, good and bad, I kind of got tired of San Francisco. And when I lost the last house I lived in San Francisco, then it was time to move on. So I moved 10 miles south to Pacifica. And
10 miles can be a big difference.
It's a whole different state down there. It's just, you know.
10 miles.
Yeah, it's like
central. 10 miles east of me is Long Beach.
Yeah, and that's a whole lot different than Pedro, yeah.
But not like Pacifica to San Francisco.
No, that's true. It's a central California coast town, Pacifica is. Although most of the people, to be fair, still make their livings in San Francisco and they drive over that
commute.
Hill. Yep. They got a nice.
It's a little slower.
But it is. It's a little bit slower. And as I've found out over the years, there's a whole bunch of musicians that are, you know, either residing there in between things or hiding out or both down there in Pacifica. You know, and it's a different scene, but I like it. And I'm looking forward to going back there.
When? Sunday. Less than a week now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been home a couple of times, you know, in between things that we've done.
Briefly.
Home for about 4 or 5 days or something, and when you get back, there you are pulling into London again, and there's the same driver, Clyde, the guy that you had the last week, and it's like you feel like you never left, you know? I don't really miss being around this crazy crew.
Maybe May?
That's what I hear. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody dangled a carrot that was too fat to not take a snap at. But that's what they say. That's why I'm going to be doing things like going to play with Radon and, you know, head down your way maybe and do some things down there and
yeah, cool.
Try to stay active and, you know, maybe make some money, which would be good.
Some music?
Make a lot of music.
Well, shit. We're coming to the end of the first hour. September 10, 2007, Watt from Pedro Show. Hang tight for hour two. September 10, 2007, it's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Okay, we'll pick up the song titles every time. So, we will call this Wasaka and Lisboa. True story. Thank you.
All right, that was Resaca M. Lisboa. Something live from Steve McKay and the Radon Ensemble. Steve, when did you do that and where?
Well, it was this great club in Lisbon. I can't remember the name of it like I couldn't the last time we had a show and we played another cut from it. But
when?
2004, summertime. And it was
3 years
ago. Right after Stooges tour. And my lovely partner Patricia was there with me and got to see that. And we had Kamielski's on that. He's playing synthesizer and Doombeck. And a guy from Argentina named Alejandro, when we played that last cut, the last time.
Last week.
Playing the cello. And Buddy Benjamin from Mechanosphere playing some synth and some percussion. And Scott Neidiger on percussion. And that title... Resaca is Spanish or Portuguese. It means sneaker wave.
Not Spanish.
I think it's Spanish. They'll use it too.
Okay.
A resaca. It's like, and it's a sneaker wave, but actually it means hangover. So a hangover in Lisbon. And that was one of the few times where I would actually name the song before we did it. And maybe that was a mistake, but.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It's just sometimes it's better to name them later, but. We had a good crowd, you know. The art critics kind of left before the show was over, but the ones that remained gave us a standing ovation. So
there were some tribes in North America. You name the baby, the first thing that runs by the teepee.
Right, that's why you got your name Two Dogs Fucking.
Scotty Tenbeer.
Yeah. Anyhow. It was a good show, and that was really great. It turned out Kamielski actually had recorded that set, and so he handed the
while he was set. Playing.
Well, he wasn't sitting behind the knobs. He set his mini disc recorder out there somewhere in the crowd and got a hold of it, you know, and then saved it for me, and was kind enough to pass it on to me recently when we saw him in Brussels.
Now, what's it like when you're doing something like that in the moment?
Yeah, it's pretty much in the moment. We try to get like a rise and fall of the energy. I try to get everybody to, you know, give everybody some space to play their own thing and stuff before I come on with my sometimes hackneyed and cliched fluffing sax playing, but... That one turned out pretty good, so I'm happy with it.
Had you played with any of them before?
Yeah, I played with everybody except for Alejandro. And he was wonderful, wonderful player. Real sensitive and stuff. I kept trying to get him to play a little bit more louder and more aggressive. And I think in our duet, he ended up doing more of that. But this one was pretty good.
These cats in the Radon Collective, how'd you meet them?
Oh, boy, I was... my friend Lauren Dobson hooked me up with the guys from Liquor Ball, which is the instrumental kind of rock derivative gang of guys that used to be out of San Jose, and... So it turns out they were the first group that ever had a record on the Radon label, or the Radon name, anyhow. But I was playing with them at this club called the Cocodrie that no longer exists in North Beach in San Francisco.
And it was just random how you found them?
Well, what happened was I was playing with Liquor Ball and...
Yeah, but how'd you find the Liquor Ball through that other lady?
No, I know, from Lauren Dobson.
Ah,
the
Lauren.
Guy, you know.
Lauren's got a shrine to the Stooges.
The Omine Temple. Yeah. I hear.
So he was buds with them. He's a guy that I ended up on a bus ride from Detroit to Chicago because of a power outage, and we couldn't do the gig.
Right, the first homecoming, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And when we did do the second one, it ended up the DVD. But Laura and I rode on the bus with him, so that's where I first met him.
Yeah.
How'd you run into him? Sorry for inferring a woman thing. Lauren.
L-O-R-E-N, yeah. And
he's very much a man.
Yeah, he got a hold of me. I think he got my name out of the phone book. He'd found an EP called Seaside Curios that I put out with a couple other bands, and we had like a four song double sided 33 1/3 7-incher, and
so it was a phone book connect
back in 83, and he found it in a used record store, and he says, "Is this the same Steve McKay that played with the Stooges?" And then he called me because he was...
thought you were dead?
Well, he thought I was... Yeah, among those others that thought I was dead, he thought I was dead or, you know, wasn't sure.
That was Nick Kent that started that, right?
Yeah.
An English writer.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, also having the same name as another guy... Who did pass away
right.
From San Francisco.
So he calls you up.
And he wants to interview me because he's going to write this article about Steve McKay, the Forgotten Stooge.
To clear it up.
To clear it all up for Black to Come, which is a, you know,
sure,
fanzine that's, you know, not that great of a huge of a circulation, but seems to be well renowned about the world. Chris Stigliano, who I haven't spoken to in a while, but I need to get back in touch with him. And anyhow, Lauren, you know, interviewed me, and well, that was like 10 years ago or more. And now we're friends, you know. So
But he was buzzed with the liquor ball folks.
He was buzzed with the liquor ball folks. He hooked me up with them because I wasn't doing very much at that point in time. And
electrical work.
Yeah, it was getting wired. Wiring. And the second time I played with Liquor Ball at the Cocodrie, Temple of Bon Matin was on the bill. And I think at that point, Scott Neidiger was the bass player in that band. And I played with Liquor Ball and it was like, okay, Patty, let's get out of here. It's time to go home. And they started playing, and lo and behold, there's Brother Vinny Paternostro, who is, you know, Blue Prostitutes, this guy's I'm still playing with, and he was playing the saxophone. So I hauled that horn back out of the case, played with him, and we ended up like marching out of the front door to Kearney Street, and you know, met those guys and stayed in touch with them ever since. And then, you know, I played with Kundahola and Liquor Ball.
Evolved Euro Connects.
Yeah, well, Scott had already been like on that gypsy trail for a couple of years. But then, as things evolved, that was probably like 2001 or something like that. And as things evolved, he would bring bands through the Bay Area on like European bands, and they would go play at KFJC.
Los Altos.
And I would go and sit in with them, you know, cold. And then we do the radio broadcasts, and some of that stuff is on Michigan and Arcturus.
Right.
And so we just maintained that connection. And, you know, at one point they had me come up to Portland, and that was like one of the first, like, Steve McKay and the Radon Ensemble shows. I think it was called Steve McKay and the Little Beirut Ensemble the first time. That's what they called it. Yeah, when George Bush Jr. went to Portland, a whole bunch of people were protesting and probably throwing eggs at his limousine or something, and he said, "My God, this is like a Little Beirut up here." And so they decided to make the most of that. And that was also the first time I played with Smegma. And Nequaquam Vacuum, And you know, and then it was like a big mishmash of stuff at the Jasmine Tree, which was like a Chinese restaurant / experimental music club in downtown Portland. And so you know, that progressed.
Jim Meltzer was with Smegma at the time.
Yeah, he certainly was. And I hadn't seen him since Stooges days. Well, actually, I saw him when we were doing the Moonlighters album, and he was in his band called Vom.
Yeah.
But they, you know, that was talk about night and day. We're playing the last country rock album ever recorded in L.A., and he's like the beginnings of punk, you know.
Yeah. What was it like to see Richard again?
It was great, you know, and everybody had said, oh, this guy's, he's kind of crusty, you know, he's not very friendly, but it was all hugs and how are you, old buddy, when I saw him, and so that was wonderful.
And you did a few more gigs, because you come down to SoCal.
Yeah, a couple years later than that is when we went down to Southern California and we played at the Derby there, and you and Thurston came down and saw us, and I almost didn't do that gig.
Raymond.
Yep. Almost didn't do that gig because they said, well, Radon Ensemble, they can't play. You can still play with Smegma. And I was like, yeah, you want to play? Let's go home. And the band said, Steve, we don't care if we get to play or not. We're going to be really disappointed. You're really going to let us down if you don't play. And so we showed up. And next thing you know, I'm having to negotiate with the promoter about whether we're going to play or not. And he wasn't too keen on the idea, but our promoter, well, not the promoter, the owner of the club wasn't keen on it. The promoter canceled his band so that we would have space to play. And so then I was able to play with Radon and then later on with Smegma. And so that, as you know, that turned into a real good show and a real good night. And that was a good thing. And then I went back up to Portland a couple more times and had some good shows there. And then the Stooges thing started happening. And then right about that time, Radon guys got me a ticket to go over to Portugal, and I went over there for a week with them in Mechanosphere, and we did a tour. We played Lisbon and Porto and Braga, and that was a hard charging week. And we did a radio broadcast in Coimbra as well, and it was just continuing, and we haven't done a lot lately because I've been so busy with this, but you know, I'm gonna do that thing in the East Coast with those, you know, Radon affiliates. Because you know, you don't have to necessarily be on the label, but it's like I see them all as part of a grander collective, and
which is the website radoncollective.org.
That's right.
RADONCOLLECTIVE.ORG. Now, tomorrow's Tuesday. So a week ago, we were in Dublin.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And, no, it was Wednesday. I'm sorry.
I can't remember what day of the week it is.
Tuesday, we ended up doing the radio show. But Wednesday, we're going to leave for Norway.
But not until the flight, afternoon. Not until late in the afternoon.
So before the flight, we drive over to a studio. I think it was in a horse stable.
Way across on the other side of Dublin. With Estelle.
I mean, with a pile of horse shit, with horses. Good little studio with an Irish band from Dublin called Estelle. And we did 5 songs with them.
Yeah, it was like a couple of theirs and a couple of yours. And
yeah, what was that like?
It was the first time I did a studio recording with you, Mike, after all these years we've been together. And, you know, got to see how you work, and you're a hard charger and a hard taskmaster. But we got it. We got some good stuff down.
We didn't have a lot of time, so we had to charge hard, right?
But it was good. It was, you know, it was certainly different kind of music than what we do with the Stooges.
Although the last tune
was Funhouse. So we did a cover of that. That's true.
But it was a different take on it.
Yeah, definitely. Instrumental.
Right, right. Now, I know Estelle because, well, I met them up and up for me when I was playing in Dublin a couple of years ago. And I played a lot of their music. But Steve had no idea. But, you know, it was an opportunity. And, like, I asked him, come on. Because I told them, you know, they had come to the Electric Picnic, see Stooges play. And I thought, man, I'm in town. I'm not in Dublin all the time. The music's a kind of thing like that where you got to kind of seize on it. You know about this in the Radon Collective. You're not always together.
Yeah.
So when the circumstance brings...
Especially when we get to do all this traveling on somebody else's nickel, and we're there.
So why not take that opportunity and get some jams out? So we go down there, and the first song, the organ player, Sarah, put up kind of a... To me, it felt like an ocean thing.
But the rhythm was sort of like a Celtic march kind of thing. You know?
And I don't know. I was thinking major.
No, no flatted thirds or flatted sevenths or no blue notes. It was all real major key, which is a real departure for both of us.
Yeah. And I didn't bring my bass. I used their bass player's bass.
Oh, yeah, that was with the
heavy strings. You could have walked on the fretboard and cleared the strings without dunking your head. Let's put it that way.
You done real good, Mike. You done real good. You got the grooves in your fingers to prove it.
When we did the gig the next day in Norway, I was asking Steve, why is my wrist all sore? And why am I playing this little bass so easy and fast?
Because that was great, and you were playing some, and you put in a couple. You had a couple of your own ideas that you put forward. After that water one,
I thought, well, let's not maybe go for a mellow one. So, and I was thinking, man, we're pressed for time. So I came up with a thing like a messed up machine, you know, a messed up clock.
And that was and you were playing some pretty active parts of that.
And then, you know, people being kind and following in. And then we did when I went into the studio, I was thinking of some chords. Just, I don't know why.
You did one, I wrote them down on a paper. Kind of a ballad kind
of thing. Yeah, we went through some chords on that one. And then I asked... them to start off when it ended up like kind of reggae?
Kind of, but not exactly. But yeah, the beat was sort of like that, yeah. But still major key.
That's right.
But then some of it kind of broke down and I started playing some, what did he call it, like an angry bee or something.
Yeah.
It's like flight of the bumblebee on acid.
Their guitar player couldn't play guitar with us. He had to run the record. And he told Steve he was digging that bee.
And he's going to go back in and cut and paste and stuff.
Right, and add his guitar. And some of them we even did a couple takes on.
Yeah, we did.
So, and then it was a trip talking to him after.
Well, you can.
They didn't want to really call it Estelle. I think it's going to have a life of its own. So, but that's going to come out in the near future. Five of us: Tommy, Andrew, Sarah, Steve, myself.
And he said, "Is it okay if we release this?" I said, "Of course. What do you? I want to be on as many records as possible, and it's going to be great." Plus that, maybe that'll give us, one of these days we're going to get a ticket to Ireland or something.
It's a good town. Good place to play music. So that was a trip. Now, I've played a lot of scale on the show before, but hell, here's some more. A lot from Pedro.
Was Valley of Fire by Jackie O Motherfucker. We were just talking about that. What a great name for a band. You tell your grandma what band you're in. That's right.
Now you came up with the name of the band, you were telling me, in Personas.
Oh yeah, Personas. It was like
you had a promo man talk you up on the Castro.
Yep. It was called Bulimia Romana. Right, and my ex-wife was the singer of that. And we were going to call her Anorexia, and my name was Daoud, and I can't remember the other two guys' names, but we were from East Germany, and
DDR,
we were from the DDR, but, and then you were just telling me about bands in Austin that would just make up a persona and put out flyers, and there wasn't a band, and there wasn't a song.
This is old.
I know, but you know, it's still like a good marketing technique. You know, it's sort of like a different version of the producers or something like that. You know, it's like a good rock novel. Anyhow, after that, we heard Bedtime Story Part 1 by PRDC.
NDC.
PRN.
No.
PNDC. PNDC, your handwriting is exemplary, is execrable. And they're from
Belgrade.
They're from Belgrade, the Serbians. And we apologize to the Serbian nation for that gaffe there. And then before that was House 8 by Estelle, of whom we were just recently speaking.
That's right. So if you were wondering who me and Steve got to jam with last Wednesday, that's who. It was kind of a trip. And Steve came in just reacting to the whole trip without anything ahead of time. I knew of Estelle, you know. Steve had confidence. You got a good spirit. You got everything that I find in a musician ideal.
Well, God, thank you so much.
No, but truly, you don't have the stuck-up thing. You got patience. You got open mind. And then you put yourself to it. You don't coast. In all those years you've been playing, you bring that to it, but you don't hold it over anybody's head because you're in the moment. Maybe learn from the moment, which to me is incredible because you've been around so long and have learned so much already. But then thinking about it, it might be only natural that you would be that way.
Well, I've always enjoyed going where sax players don't usually go. And some of this is also because I didn't really feel like I had the reading or the chops to be like, you know, your really hot bebop guy, although I can fake my way through that. I kind of think of myself as a pretty good hack about a lot of things. But there's a lot stuck inside my head that I can pull off every once in a while. And I like the different situations. And I like the fact that people are just willing to let me play with them on the strength of who I am or who they think I am. And that's real good.
Yeah, it was a trip, you know. They came over and just met you in the hall. And to them, that was a thrill. And then when I said, well, you know what? I told Steve I was going to record. He's into it. You're like, whoa.
Well, that's good. Well, I hope to return the favor. Well, actually, I think
music's about that.
We're not exactly sure what's going to happen. But since Kamielski's going to be doing this gig with us tomorrow, he's expressed an interest in doing some recording with me and with you.
That's right. After sound check tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here in Moscow.
And you know, we'll see what he's got in mind.
Yeah. I'm way into it. That cat can play, and he's got a head full of idea. We're at the end of the second hour, September 10th, 2007, Wap Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. September 10th, 2007, it's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show, and here's part eight of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night.
I'll give it to you straight. When the fog comes in, we go out to meet the monster.
And what is the monster?
It's what you're seeing out there.
What I'm seeing is the fog.
Yeah.
What is it?
Who cares? Stop acting like a bunch of belly-aching tourists. Look at the people out there. They're having fun. You want to have fun? You dress the part.
Is that why everyone is dressed up?
Johnny Seven has some amazing clothes.
Yeah, and it's sticky fog-proof, too. Hey, you two Frenchies from Montreal, right? The dames up there, they know how to dress, am I right? You, what's your name?
Claudine.
Claudine. What I have here, look at this. Solid sequins. Don't this take your breath away?
It's beautiful.
If this ain't a perfect fit, I'll eat my hat. Try it on. What do you say?
It is really nice.
Yeah, and his prices are terrific.
Go on, try it on. The dressing room's right over there. And now, you, Jack, right?
Yeah.
Now look at this. Hold it. Midnight blue, double-breasted blazer. It says Mr. Yachtsman, polo, casinos, thoroughbred, old money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is nice.
Well, look, like I was telling you, compadres, if you got a persona you want to project, you got to look the part. I'm going to level with you. When you dress for the occasion, it's not just what you're projecting, it's what you're protecting. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You don't know what I mean?
No.
Okay, look, the monster wants to play. So this is the way we play. Hold on, I got it. A trench coat, double-breasted belt, a classic. It's the real thing.
Oh, yeah, I like this.
Oh, my
my God, look. There's Amanda.
Who's Amanda?
Amanda Wolf, the woman I told you about from the other island. That's her. She's here. Amanda, hey. It's me, Dominique. Amanda. She's gone. Swallowed up.
Are you sure that was her?
Maybe she didn't recognize me.
Or maybe that's not the same Amanda.
Maybe it's best that we all dress for the part.
Why do you say that?
Well, you've seen what people are wearing out there.
It does look like they've all stepped out of a 1940s mystery movie.
Yeah, film noir.
Claudine, are you all right?
I'm fine. You look worried.
Yes, I am. What's going to stop the monster from taking us over?
Well, that's a chance we'll have to take.
There ain't no reason to go out there and wrestle that thing barehanded.
Oh, well, did you bring boxing gloves?
Won't do much good going out there and punching at the fog.
So what do we do?
Well, there's something I learned back when I was a kid in the Little Voodoo Heads.
In the what?
We called our club the Little Voodoo Heads.
You're kidding.
Oh, it's like the Scouts. You know about the Voodoo Scouts, right?
You were in the Voodoo Scouts?
Mojo, is that a national organization?
Oh, yeah. Our regional chapter was the Little Voodoo Heads.
Was your motto, be prepared?
No. It's more like bring your preparation.
That was the motto?
We had a lot of mottos. Things like put a light in your pocket and don't let the dog get in your pants.
What did they teach you in the Little Voodoo Heads?
Well, when we'd go camping, we'd learn how to prepare amulets for protection from the bad spirits and from the witches in the woods.
No, not witches.
Oh, yeah. They got some mean ones out there. They live up in the trees.
Oh, come on now.
I never told you about the witches in the woods.
Well, I think I would remember that.
It's because of them I got real good at making little mojos.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to hear that.
I do. I want to know how you made little mojos.
I'm not talking about babies.
Oh?
I'm talking about mojos. Rose knows what I mean.
A mojo. It's an object believed to have magical powers, especially the power to keep away evil spirits.
Is that how you got your name, Mojo?
That's how I got my name.
Is he making this up?
Probably.
So, Mojo, did you come prepared?
I did. I got my little preparation in my little black satchel.
Will it help protect us?
Last time we were here, I let that fog get at me just a little, so I'd know what potion to make.
Are you saying that you concocted something that will make us immune to the fog?
I'm not that good, but what I got here in my little black satchel are some little black bags. See?
What are those?
Oh, Mojo made each of us a little mojo.
That's right.
What do little mojos do?
If you feel like you've been taken over by that monster, you take a whiff of little mojo.
Oh, it smells very strong.
Yeah. God. Do I have to wear these stinky bags around my neck?
Oh, I like the way they smell.
Yeah, you would.
You can wear them if you want.
But they'll smell us coming from a block away.
They'll just think it's you, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can carry it in your pocket.
Will it protect us?
It won't do that.
And why did you give us these stink bags?
Jack, they are not stink bags.
Oh, no?
If you feel you're being taken over by the monster, you whiff this.
Ah, you.
If you keep sniffing it up your nose like that, Jack, you're going to suck out all its power.
It's just herbs, isn't it?
Herbs and spells.
Yeah, but it's smelling up my new trench coat.
Jack, Mojo's trying to help us.
Yeah, Mojo and his little voodoo heads.
Okay, we ready to go out there and punch some fog?
I am.
Yeah, but why do I have the feeling that fog is going to punch back?
You could cut this stuff with a spoon.
How are we going to stay together?
We could hold hands. Other people seem to know where they're going.
I don't know which way I'm going.
How about we follow someone? Maybe they know.
Jack, what do you think? Jack? Where are you?
He was right next to you.
Mojo? Rose?
Mojo? Hey, Rose? Jack?
Oh, my God.
Where is is everyone? How the heck did this happen? I wonder if I can reach anyone. Mojo? Hello? Claudine? Rose? Dominique? Just static. Music. What's this? Fritz's pub? Huh. Why not?
Watford Pedro Show. Well, I started the third hour out there with part eight of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night. Jack's adventure progresses. And then we heard The Presence by Crispy Ambulance. Steve, we were in Helsinki, and you found some music.
I was at the airport today, but I'd also been, when we went to the Loose Bar, I was talking to a couple of very nice Finnish women, and they were talking to me about Sami music. And even though, you know, these are the people that live in, like, Lapland, I guess, you know. And they're like, you know, they're white, but they're like northern tribal people. And these are the people that you see, you know, dancing around with their reindeers that they love very much. And at the same time, they're like Native Americans because they'll love their reindeers, but they still eat them and wear their skins. And so when I was interested in this kind of music, and when I saw some of it at the airport today, I said, well, it would be interesting to hear some of this stuff. And we really didn't know what it was until just now when we listened to some of it, and you'll be hearing it also.
Yeah, what's this guy's name?
Nils Juni Aikio.
Katsoiva peloa, joita hän on luonut,
Oh,
Okay. Well, I'm going to try my lap and my Sami and my Finnish very badly, so my apologies to people of those cultures. Yadni?
We started this last chunk of music. Steve's going to tell you what we played. And the first one
is Yadni Merkat Kuevat, parentheses, Aydin Merki Svivaka, a.k.a. My Mother's Reindeer. And that's by Niels Juni Aikio. It is the fine record that I just got today of a lap guy, and there's a bunch of other great stuff on here, which I'm going to discover later. Anyhow, you know these people love their reindeers, don't you, Mike? They really do. They have parties with them, they get them drunk, they dress them up. But then every once in a while, they have to eat them. Much like our Native Americans, but what the heck. They're wonderful people, and I'd love to visit them sometime if they'd have me. But not for dinner. Not me for dinner. I'll eat some reindeer meat if they serve it up. But otherwise, I'm not...
I had some in Tromso.
Did you?
It was good.
Yeah,
well... Same game. Not to insult anybody, but...
Yeah. And then after that, we heard Wes by Giuseppe from Italy. Yeah. It's a long ways away down to the land of, you know, pasta and vino and stuff, you know. And then followed by Dear Shitbook, Fuck the Facts is the band, out of Ottawa, Ontario. I'm partly Canadian myself, so I can always relate to anything that comes north of the border.
And Ottawa is a government town.
It's the capital, isn't it?
Right, and there's a French part.
I didn't know
called Hull.
Is that
played there? It's
wow.
Right across the river.
And I didn't even know that the French got that far. You know, it's like.
But if they're called Fuck the Facts, maybe they're on the England side. But it's all Canada. Oh Canada, can you sing the song?
Oh Canada, no, I can't sing it. But it's like da 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 da. And then it goes da 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 da
da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da An eighth. I'm an eighth Canadian, and I'm 1/32nd Canadian Blackfoot Indian, too, or something. Like the Indian said, the Native American said, if you had a nosebleed, dude, you'd lose it all. And you've got a mixed background, too, don't you?
I'm half Italian.
So half Italian.
From the boot.
Half Italian from the boot.
Sometimes I like to blame my emotional state on my Italian background. Is that fair?
You can't help yourself. And if you had to sit on your hands, you wouldn't be able to speak. That's what they say about you people. Big shout out to the next generation of people that come over here and get treated poorly. Because you'll have
here,
your day.
Like Moscow?
No. Oh, no, the Russians? There's plenty of them in San Francisco. I was saying
that's why the bear's on the flag.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. Yeah. No, it's...
Have you heard about projections saying Cali's going to be 60 million people in 10 years?
Well, you know why? Because everybody else is going to move there because they're going to be the first state with health care, and that's going to be all over.
You mean Hawaii ain't got it?
Hawaii.
Somebody told me they got health care.
Wow.
For the U.S.
I know it started in, like the Canadians started their thing in like what, Alberta and Saskatchewan, and it went to the whole country, and then it got really good, and now they're nipping back on it, just like they are in Britain and all over Europe. They're trying to take away and take away, so you got a copay and copay. And that, to me, is my biggest complaint about the USA is if I get sick, whatever money I might have is gone. And I won't even be able to buy the double wide. It's my dream is to be able to be so successful I can buy a double wide.
Okay. We can always dream with music. Let's play some more music.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting. Boring manager, Rob. Rob say Code Monkey, very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not saying out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey likes Fritos. Code Monkey likes Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man with big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey likes Fritos. Code Monkey likes Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. A lot. Code Monkey have every reason to get out this place. Code Monkey, just keep on working, see your soft pretty face. Much rather wake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey likes Fritos. Code Monkey likes Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
So we started off with Jonathan Colton out of Brooklyn playing Code Monkey. Now, I was way impressed with that song. I thought that was one of the greatest songs I've heard in quite some time. And I don't know if you agree or not, but we both got a big charge out of that. Very much, very much. It's like, I guess you're speaking to a lot of people. Jonathan, you're speaking to a lot of people. I know.
Whole cage full?
Whole cage full of us, that's right.
Big, warm, secret, fuzzy heart.
That's right, just like you, buddy. And then followed up with Cramping by Yumi Yumi from Japan. That was real good, too. It's like, I'm really appreciating all the music you're bringing to the world, and all the music, especially all those people out there are putting out, because it's just incredible, and I'm blown away, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm old dinosaur man, so this is good for me to hear. And then we followed that up with Vietnam by Expo out of Paris, and I happen to know the guitar player in that band. He's been a friend of mine, and used to live in his house when I stayed in Paris, God, about 25 years ago, and it's really good to hear what he's up to now, and it's a wonderful thing. Maybe I'll get to see him when we're in Paris this time, but last time I saw him, he gave me that CD.
Let's listen to some more music.
And I'm not.
Just heard A Journey Through Fog by George Foreman Unit, all one word, and that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I like that a lot, but I like all the stuff that you pick, especially the ones I pick. But and then before that we had Ack 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 by Big Gas.
Not the urinal song. Well, actually the Minutemen, when we did it, we called it Ack Ack Ack, but the urinals called it Ack 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 Ack.
Well, you know, a popular title just kind of keeps coming back, doesn't it? And before that, we heard Hot Chocolate Boy by No Joke.
Steve, I want to thank you for being my guest.
I always have a wonderful time, and I always get to hear all kinds of cool stuff, and then you let me play some of my finds and some of my stuff, which is way cool. And it's always a pleasure. And
it's the September 10th, 2007 edition of the Wild from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.